You're listening to the WHO podcast, and my name is Tom Shakespeare. In this episode, we look at how different countries are tackling the issue of violence prevention. Recently, WHO hosted the fourth Milestones meeting, which reviewed progress since the publication in 2002 of the World Report on Violence and Health. Dr. Alex Butchart, coordinator of violence prevention at the World Health Organization, explains the magnitude of the problem.
Violence, if you look at it in terms of deaths, kills as many people as tuberculosis, approximately 1.5 times as many people as malaria, and just over the number of people that are killed by road traffic injuries. To put it into numbers, that's 1.6 million people that die violently each year, of whom about 800,000 are due to suicides, another 500,000 are due to homicide, and the remaining proportion due to war.
The leading epidemiologist, Professor Sir Michael Marmot, from University College London, who chaired the Commission on Social Determinants of Health, talked to us about why certain countries experience higher rates of violence than others.
The clear evidence is that rates of violence are related to the social and economic arrangements of society. And the reason I say that is because although we know violence occurs everywhere, the rate with which it occurs varies dramatically. It follows inequality and it follows poverty. Poor countries have more violence than rich countries. Within countries, it follows the social gradient. The poorer people are, the poorer the circumstances in which they live, the higher the rate of violence.
Dr. Elizabeth Ward is consultant at the Institute of Criminal Justice and Security at the University of the West Indies, Jamaica, and she also chairs the Violence Prevention Alliance Jamaica chapter. She tells us about practical initiatives that are really making a difference in her country.
Well, our major focus really is on primary prevention. So we're looking at fostering the early childhood interventions, doing home visiting, parenting programs, and also teaching basic life skills. We're also doing a lot of work at the media level where we're looking at things like Voices Against Violence. We're doing dance hall interventions. We're focusing on more vulnerable youth where we're finding that very, very important. A lot of these males who are involved, hurt and injured in hospital, can't read. They said, "Doc, I just want to learn how to read." So one of the interventions that we're supporting is actually an online literacy program where they learn literacy and numeracy.
The Honourable Themba Mazuku is the Deputy Prime Minister of Swaziland. Swaziland has been a world leader in taking an evidence-based approach to tackling violence. He explains that one of the main challenges is getting people to talk about it.
Generally, people don't inform of the abuse. We socialized not to do that. So this is why people suffer in silence, because they can't tell their story. If they told their story, they may find themselves in trouble, deprived of certain things that they probably enjoy before that. Sometimes you find that they don't even know that what has been done to them is criminal or it's abuse. Then also they don't even know sometimes where to report. So these are some of the things that we are working on to make sure that people understand. We've got programs to inform people what abuse is, where to report, what to do, etc. So that's what we are currently doing as a country.
If you'd like more information about this issue or would like to read the World Report on Violence and Health, please see the links published on the transcript page of this podcast. That's all for this episode of the WHO podcast. Thanks for listening. If you have any comments on our podcast or have any suggestions for future health topics, drop us a line. Our email address is podcast@who.int. For the World Health Organization, this is Tom Shakespeare in Geneva.